Please turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4, James chapter 4, which serves as the background reading for our text from 1 John, where we will turn in a moment. James chapter 4, as we give our attention to the Word of God. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace? Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Our text from 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, as we continue to inch our way closer to the final verses of John's letter. Verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. May God bless the reading and consideration of his word to us this morning. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 13, that verse that we considered together last week, Sunday evening, really is all by itself a fitting conclusion to John's letter, as it is a summary of all that John has written in this letter. It lays before us, really, in very summary form, the purpose for which John had written this letter. I write these things, pointing back to everything he had said before, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Believers, as we pointed out, have eternal life. And they are to know that they have eternal life. That would have been a very fitting conclusion to all that John had written. Yet now, in the closing sentences, it's as if he gives us a conclusion to his conclusion, with a number of different details. Maybe like us, when we're writing a letter or an email to someone, and we finish it and we sign it, oh, and P.S. or P.S.S. One more thing. John has about five more things, but important details. And with his first one more thing, if you will, he is pointing to the believer's confidence of having eternal life and knowing it. And we need to remember that our confidence, you see, is not in the things of this life. Our confidence is not in creatures. It's not in people. But our confidence is in our sovereign God. Our confidence is in the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. We need to remember that. We need to let that soak in a second. Our confidence is in the One like whom there is no other. And therefore, with regard to that One, John lays before us in this verse the confidence of prayer for the child of God. And we might say, well, we know all about prayer, so what's the big deal? This is really a minor detail. But do we? Do we treat it that way? And again, I can only speak from my own experience, but I find myself praying so often, so very flippantly, so very quickly, as if, again, just like my Bible reading, it's a check mark. I got to check it off my list. It's done. I'm good for the day. It's important for us to stop for a few moments this morning and consider that the confidence of prayer for the child of God. He begins verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him. It's also translated, this is the confidence, something to the effect, this is the confidence that we have in approaching Him. Remember who it is we approach, the Almighty Sovereign God. And the confidence that John is talking about, again, is not just some sort of a vain wish. It's not some sort of a vain hope. Well, I hope so, not knowing whether or not it's true or certain. But it's a fact. Approaching God is a fact. And having confidence in approaching God is a fact for the child of God. Just as we said last week, the assurance of eternal life is a fact. And knowing it is a fact. And so, first of all, John lays before us confidence in God's favor. Again, very, very simple, but think about that. The Almighty Sovereign God, like whom there is no other, is favorably disposed toward His people when they come to Him in prayer. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about how we're going to find Him, as it were. He is favorably disposed toward His people as believers. Who is to approach? Who are to approach? John says, we. Again, based on everything that John has said so far, he is talking about those who have been born of God by God's grace, and therefore they have eternal life. They are those whom he said have fellowship with God, those who walk in the light of His truth, those who obey His commandments, those who love their fellow Christians. These are the ones who have eternal life. They know it, and therefore they are able with confidence to come before God in prayer, knowing that we come because of Jesus Christ and His righteousness and not our own. Confident of God's favor, if you will, that He will never withhold His scepter from you and me. Boys and girls, you remember Esther? When Esther had become queen and then her cousin Mordecai had found out that it was the purpose of some wicked men to put all the Jews to death, he said to Esther, you got to go to the king. You got to go talk to him. And she says, look, you know that anybody who approaches the king without being requested, if he doesn't hold out his scepter, that means that they're going to be put to death. I haven't been called in a month. We never have to worry that our God will not, or that He will withhold His scepter from us. He won't. It will always be held out to His people. We have confidence as believers because we have confidence as children of the Heavenly Father. And therefore, as children, beloved, we do not come out of terror. We do not come deathly afraid, shaking in our boots. We do not come out of desperation or when times get tough. Many of you have heard the saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. And we know what that means, that if things get bad enough, even the strongest of atheists, if you will not fail to cry out to God for help. We don't come to our God in desperation or just when times are tough, but we pray. God's people pray without ceasing. And prayer for the child of God is not some sort of uncertain experiment, wondering if it's going to work or not. Maybe you've seen that on a TV program or in a movie, and it goes something like this. Oh, God, if you're listening, Oh God, if you're really there, oh God, if you're not too busy, maybe you could. That's nothing but prayer laced with doubt. It's not prayer at all, really. But as His children, we have confidence of adoption, that we actually do belong to Him as His children in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we may come, just like our children to us as parents, may we come anytime, anywhere, taking all of our circumstances and petitions and requests to God, knowing, having the confidence that He is really there. Having the confidence that He is never too busy for us. Having the confidence that He always hears us. God favors His people because they have been washed in the blood of His Son, our Savior, purchased as His very own. And we know that He says that in Isaiah 43, I have redeemed you, therefore you are mine. And so we come with confidence. The psalmist in Psalm 4, verse 3 says, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. The Lord hears when I call to Him. Or Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. That confidence we know belongs to the child of God, to the believer, by faith. That faith, we understand faith, that faith by which we know God as He has revealed Himself, and by that faith by which we know who we are only in Christ Jesus. We are received of God. We come into His very presence only because of Jesus. We cannot forget that. Apart from Jesus, we can't even get to the door, as it were. We know our place with God because of Christ. We know that God is our God, that He is our refuge, our strength, our fortress, our Heavenly Father. And that we, by His grace, are a part of the bride of Christ. And therefore, our confidence, too, is not an arrogant confidence. It is a blessed assurance by which we come before Him in prayer, because He commands us to pray. All throughout the Word of God, and especially in the Psalms, call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will answer you. I will deliver you, and you will glorify Me. And as we sing sometimes, prayer is that vital breath we need to be breathing. And prayer is the vital breath of the Christian in response to God speaking through His Word. And therefore, those with confidence of God's favor, that our God is favorably disposed toward His people, also, secondly, have confidence, the confidence of God's will. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, did we hear that correctly? There are so many who want to change it up a little bit and leave out that one phrase and make it read that if we ask anything, He hears us. That's not what it says. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And therefore, we have confidence of God's will, that it's for our good. And when John says, according to His will, that it's got to be that way, it does not mean that our God is some sort of an oppressive ruler. It's my way or the highway. It's got to be God's way, but not because He is some sort of a tyrant, but for good reason. Our Lord taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, and we know that included in that petition is the truth that the kingdom rules are for the benefit of the kingdom citizen. And beloved, so it is with God's will. It's for the good of His redeemed children. It can be no other way, simply because of who He is and what He has promised, simply because of God's character and because He loves His children. And our Lord Jesus taught us by His example about the confidence of God's will, when in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He was facing you know what, He prayed, Father, if You are willing, take this cup from Me, but not My will, Yours be done. God's will is to be to our delight. It is to be to our delight to pray according to God's will and to be confident in that, because even more than earthly parents desire what's best for their children, and I trust that most earthly parents do desire what's best for their children. There may be a disagreement between children and parents as to what is best, But even more than earthly parents desire what's best for their children, our Heavenly Father delights in and He desires in what's best for His children, and He accomplishes without fail what's best for His children. And therefore, beloved, His will is never, ever, ever for the believer's harm. But it is always, always, always for the good of His children. Confidence of God's will cannot come without knowing God's will. What does it mean to pray according to the will of God? How do we do that? Well, we can begin by saying, by being students of and believers in the revealed will of God. Again, prayer is speaking to God, but not just saying anything we feel like. Prayer is speaking to God in response to His Word, and therefore it includes searching the Word of God. It includes submitting in obedience to the Word of God. God is to be glorified even in our prayers, and He is as our prayers are prayed according to His will, which includes how one is to come to Him in prayer. When we think about the will of God, we can think about it in two different ways. And the first way is that way. How? What is God's will in how we are to come before Him? What is the character to be of the one praying? Beloved, we are to come to God with the proper motive. Again, not my will, but Your will be done. That's hard. Because let's be honest, we want to mold and make God's will to fit our will, to come in line with our will. By nature, all people, including each and every one of us, is selfish. We want what we want, when we want it, where we want it, how we want it. We know what I'm talking about. And it's true of all ages. Oh God, please give me a new bike. Oh God, please give me a new cell phone. Oh God, please give me a better paying job. Oh God, please give me healing. And you see, beloved, we often ask as if God is obligated to do these things. Because again, we twist the Scripture and make it say, if we ask anything, He hears us. We ask as if God is obligated to do it. We ask as if we deserve it. We ask as if we know what's best. Again, James says in verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. Or as another translation says, you ask with wrong motives to spend it on your passions. God's glory, God's will must come first. We are to come before Him with a proper motive and also come before Him in faith. Again, that may seem, well, so simple, but believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing who we are in Him, again, that we are received by God only in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are to come humbly, not demanding of God, but recognizing, remembering all that He has already done for us. Jesus says in Matthew 21, verse 22, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. James, in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. And faith, we know, includes that all-important element called trust. As we say often, trusting that all that Jesus Christ has done is for me too, but also trusting that God will be faithful to His promises to His children, especially as the text says. Because of who He is able to hear us. He is willing to hear His people. We are to come with the proper motive. We are to come in faith. We are to come as those who abide in Christ, as those who find shelter in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And therefore, as those who abide, as those who take up residency in Him, we come with lives of obedience. You see, beloved, God will not hear sinners. He will not hear sinners, as the former blind man said to the Pharisees after being healed by Jesus. You may remember that event, that the Pharisees were trying to question the one who was formerly blind and trying to point out that Jesus is not of God, that Jesus, a sinful man, and the former blind man, says, well, God doesn't hear sinners. He preached them a mighty truth. And we know he's talking there about unrepentant sinners, not those of us as we continue to struggle with sin day by day. It's foolishness to knowingly and willingly live in sin and expect God to hear and to answer prayer, because it won't happen. We are to come with a proper motive, to come in faith, to come as those who abide in Christ, and to come in Jesus' name. In John 15, Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give it to you. Because it's only for the sake of Jesus Christ and his saving sacrifice that God will give his good and perfect gifts. It's only because he has been satisfied with you and with me by Jesus, as we hope to consider it more tonight, that God will give his good and perfect gifts. And therefore, each and every one of us is to examine our personal prayer life and ask ourselves, are my motives correct? Do I truly believe in Jesus Christ? Do I desire to be obedient? Do I truly trust that God will hear me for Jesus' sake? Again, we still sin. We sin even in the context of offering up our prayers. Yet praise be to God, we are able to have confidence even then with our prayer, because our Lord Jesus Christ lives to intercede for his people. Again, this is just a sketch of God's will with regard to how we are to come before God. But there's the other side of it then. For what are we to pray? What is God's will when it comes to what we are to pray for? Again, the text and the verses that we have quoted says that he gives us whatever we ask for. Now, to make a list from the Word of God would be impossible for us to do. It takes study. It takes meditation on behalf of each and every one of us. Yet, the foundation is the Word of God, God's revealed will. And we can begin by saying that it includes the commandments of God, and it includes the promises of God. And therefore, for starters, we are to pray for the desire and the strength to be obedient to God's commandments. And we are to pray that God would fulfill his promises. As well, our Lord Jesus taught us in what we call the Lord's Prayer to pray for God's glory, to pray that his name be hallowed, to pray that his kingdom come, to pray that his will be done. And then when he turned it to focus on ourselves, to pray for forgiveness and the assurance of forgiveness that is promised to those who do repent of their sins and trust in Christ. David, in Psalm 32, verse 5, says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And therefore, we are to also pray for sanctification. We are to pray for sanctification, the cleansing of the Holy Spirit in our lives from the pollution of sin. David says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, Paul says, very matter-of-factly, he says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. It's the will of God. And this includes what Paul prays for the Colossian believers in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. And we could go back to the portion that we read from Romans for the law this morning. And we can go back to the first part of James chapter 4. And as we hear these things, I would ask each one of us to consider, how often do I pray for these particular things? Notice what Paul prays in Colossians 1, beginning at verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. When's the last time you asked for that? A knowledge of the will of God in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. I can't remember the last time I prayed that God would help me to walk in a way that's fully pleasing to him. He goes on, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. James says, resist the devil. How often do we ask God in prayer to help us to resist the devil? James says to pray for wisdom. Along with praying, we are to pray for the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I skip over these things. These things and so much more. You see, beloved, all that God expects of and from His people, He will give to those who desire these things and ask for them. And along with this, God promises to care for and to protect His people so we may confidently pray for our daily bread. And as well as Psalm 91 verse 4 says, He will cover you with His pinions and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. And God's will includes being faithful to His people. We may ask for that. And being faithful to His very own word. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, our God says, My word shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. How awesome is it that each and every time God's word is read or preached, we can pray confidently that that word will do what God has planned for it to do. Again, this is just a sketch. We can only give a sketch. God's will is perfect. His will is for His glory. It is for the good of His people. In that we may be confident. The confidence we may have of His will is to be our desire. And His will is to be our desire. And if we ever find that our desire is in conflict with His will, it's not His will that is to change, but it is our desire that is to be brought in line with God's will. Someone has said, to know God's will is to be able to pray with boldness. And the opposite is also true. To not know God's will is to not be able to pray with boldness. Beloved, in His Word, He gives us exactly what is needed to pray intelligently. But there's still that gnawing question, isn't there? What about the things that we're not sure about? How do we pray for the things that we're not sure about? I mean, again, God says in His Word that we are to bring our requests, our petitions to Him, right? How do we pray about or for that which He does not directly mention or promise in Scripture? Is it wrong to ask for healing from sickness? Is it wrong to ask for a new bike? Is it wrong to ask for a different job? Is it wrong to ask for the things of this life? Is it wrong to ask for godly leaders? Not necessarily at all. But again, all of our requests are to be governed by faith and that proper motive, that motive being the glory of God and His will and our true good. Remember, sometimes that which we think is for our good is not for our true good. With regard to God's plan from eternity, His secret will, we don't know God's plan until it unfolds daily. We don't know it for our own lives. God knows each and every one of our days. He's got them all planned out, but we don't know until it unfolds every day. But James does remind us how we are to pray with regard to the things that we can't be sure about. Beginning in verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. There are many things that we can talk about with regard to what we can't be sure about. We often make our plans without bathing them in prayer, but then we ask God to bless the plans that we have made. Instead, we are to bathe the plans we would like to make in prayer, seeking God's leading. Again, many examples we can give, but probably the most vivid example for us is illness. We don't know if it is God's plan to physically heal and to restore a loved one or even ourselves. We simply don't know that. Indeed, we pray for healing. Because He alone is the great physician, even for our bodies. He is the one who made us. But we pray for healing if it is God's will. Yet we do know that we do know His will is to fulfill His purpose for each and every one of us, maybe through that sickness, maybe through that hard or difficult time, maybe through whatever it is. And we do know that God's will always includes drawing us closer in difficult times. It always includes comfort of His people and peace. It always includes granting a trusting spirit. And maybe that's how He does that through that difficult time or that illness. God's will always includes strengthening the faith of His people. It always includes His grace being poured out, which we are to learn is sufficient in our weakness. We can pray for these things in confidence. Now, boys and girls, you don't know if it's God's will that you're going to get the exact birthday gift, your number one choice for your birthday. You don't know. We don't know that. But if you ask, you see, He will give happiness and contentment with whatever you might receive on your birthday, or even if you don't receive anything. How can we know? How can we be so confident? Because His will is that His people be content. As Paul says, I have learned to be content in any situation. His will is that we give thanks in every circumstance of life. We can't be sure that His will is to give us all we want in life. Actually, we can be sure that His will is to not give us all we want in life, because none of us have all we want in life. But we can be sure that His will is to give us what we need for this life and the life to come. And therefore, beloved, may our prayer be that He would bend our will in shape with His will. Mold me and make me after Thy will till I am waiting, yielded, and still. May that be our prayer, to bend our will in shape with His. And may our prayer be that we would seek His will, that we would embrace His will, that we would desire to live according to His will, with a confidence, finally, that God hears. Verse 14 ends, He hears us. And then John goes on, and if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we asked of Him. God hears us, properly understood, that is. You see, we cannot divorce verse 15 from verse 14, as many have, and then they use verse 15 to test God. If we take verse 15 all by itself, and if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. They test God with that verse, only to be utterly disappointed when things didn't turn out like they had asked. Again, very simply, whatever the child of God asks for, that is according to God's will. God hears that request. And the idea of the word hears here is not like what we might think. It's not simply what He listens and He takes it under advisement. But the idea with regard to this word in the original language is that God takes action. And He gives what is requested. Really. That's why John can say, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. We have them. Now, what is the scope of what God hears? Whatever we ask. It's unlimited, yet it's qualified according to God's will. This is our assurance. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, speaking of Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. Access to the Heavenly Father. Again, God will not hear those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ and prove that they don't belong to Him. And there are many times, beloved, when God will not hear the requests of His people, when those requests are not according to His will. Sometimes God says no to His children. When He will not hear their prayer because it's not according to His will, that's His no to those requests. And if you're like me, you have to look at your life and realize, well, very seldom do I really pray according to God's will. But praise be to God that He doesn't give us absolutely whatever we ask for, because whether we realize it or not, much of what we would ask for would be for our harm and not for our good. Yeah, what a blessing again that we have right now, what we asked of Him. How do we understand that? Because certainly we know that at the time of prayer, the things that we request, provided they're according to God's will, they don't just pop into our possession at that very moment, do they? Well, this is indeed a mystery, and I say to you that I agree with those who say that the answer to our petitions is not dependent on whether or not we have personally observed the answer. Sometimes the answer comes immediately. Sometimes it comes later. Sometimes we don't even recognize it in our lifetime. Maybe parents who have prayed for a child to turn to the Lord, and they are taken from this life, and they never see that happen. Yet in God's plan, beloved, He immediately grants our requests and gives His favorable answers that are according to His will. I believe that the way we are to understand this is it's as good as done. No matter the actual time frame, it's as good as done. It is certain. Oh, beloved, there's so much more we could say, but what a precious gift prayer is. And the confidence is ours in prayer, all and only for Jesus' sake. Confidence is ours as children of God that we can come into the presence of the One who holds the universe in His hand. So many of the people in the world and society, they want to gain the attention of those who are popular or those who are wealthy, and maybe they can do something for them in this life. But we have the very attention of the God of the universe, the One and only. The Almighty Sovereign God who holds the universe in His hand, and He will hear and grant the prayers of His children to all those who repent of their sins and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And beloved, just a warning for each and every one of us, when we knowingly go against His will with regard to the events and the circumstances of our lives, as we do, and when we experience the consequences of knowingly going against God's will, may we not blame God for not hearing and answering our prayer, but may we be brought to a confession of our sin, repentance of it, and a restoration to the truth that His will alone is for our good. Praise be to God that His will includes protecting His people and providing for His people and preparing His children to live with Him for eternity. And praise be to God that He will accomplish all of this. So, beloved, pray with confidence in Jesus' name. Let's bow together in prayer.